Hi, and welcome to NARC, Narcissistic Abuse Recovery Collaborators, home to NARC Troopers. If you like today's episode, check me out at narctroopers.com, and you'll find a lot of resources there to help you with your recovery from trauma and abuse. Today, we're going to talk about how we need to stop re-traumatizing victims of narcissistic abuse. There's just so much misunderstanding, disinformation, misinformation, all kinds of crazy stuff out there about narcissists, and especially about what it is to recover from a relationship with one, whether it's your spouse, boyfriend, girlfriend, whether it's a parent that was the narcissist, whatever. There's just so much information that people don't have, so much they don't know and they don't understand. So my job is to help lift that veil, pull back that curtain, and help people see what this really is, because this is not just your generic run-of-the-mill recovery or breakup or separation or whatever. This is something else entirely. You know, there are many reasons that people can't just get over it. And, you know, your reactions to them could be causing them additional harm. So let's take a look at that. It's like telling a person with no arms or legs, just get up and walk. How's that going to happen? They have no legs. They need prosthetics, assistive devices, physical therapy, and many more forms of support to be able to get moving. It would be cruel and insensitive to just blurt out something like that, some absurd suggestion based on your lack of knowledge about it. Narcissistic abuse recovery is not just your regular disentanglement or unpairing. It is something else entirely. These unfortunate souls have been merged and fused with a pathologically disordered individual who infected them with their sickness. According to the enlightened Robert Torbay from Quora, he says the narcissist is undead, decaying, fetid, a grinning eater of brains, a wide-eyed devourer of the human heart, something quite demonic, serial soul killers. Serial cheating allows a constant current of wicked electricity to animate the corpse that is the narcissist. Eventually, once they have consumed the spirit of one partner, they can migrate to the next side piece, and at which point they find a new partner to officially cheat with and just keep the current surging along their burned out nervous system just to keep it going. So this is what we're dealing with. I'm not sure about some of that, but I will say, you know, even, okay, so they don't deserve to be vilified or demonized, perhaps, because they suffer from actual brain disorder that makes their brain, which is missing parts of it, you know, it makes it deficient. It makes it incapable of functioning normally. They are neurodivergent. They can't help it. That's what they are. They have an illness. They have a disorder, a disease. It's a mental illness. So, you know, it is what it is. No reason to get nasty about it, right? But I think you do have to acknowledge the severity of their disorder. So many people, they're like, oh, you know, I can help them. I can fix it. I'm going to love them back to wellness or whatever. And, you know, that's really foolish thinking. It's naive. It's you don't have the information. They can't be okay. They don't have the parts in them to be okay. And no matter what you do, you're not going to have that. outcome, you know, and years may pass, decades may pass, and there may be reasons why they hunker down with one person or a group of people, but that doesn't mean they're okay. It doesn't mean they're okay, because they're not. They're never going to be okay. You know, this characterization that Robert Torbay has, you know, it's powerful. You know, it's the portrayal of a person with NPD, and it is grounded in truth. They exist in an alternate reality, a fiction of their own construction, and this fantastical narrative is real to them in every way. You can't tell them, oh, hey, you know, by the way, you have narcissistic personality disorder. Let me help you with that. They can't respond to that. They don't believe that. They believe their reality, that this alternative reality that they live in, and they actually think that they are the victim as their scrambled brains confabulate a new history that never happened and a new present reality that has no authentic truth in it. It's delusional. It's psychotic. Now capture this image in your mind as you imagine an innocent tumbling upon this rabbit hole, stumbling and fumbling, falling down the rabbit hole, right, with the narcissist. And, you know, because the narcissist, you don't know that they are mentally ill or disordered. That's not obvious. They have a very good facade going on, and they seem perfectly fine, perfectly normal. This person is love hungry and easily bedazzled by the narcissist weapons of mass seduction. I'm talking about you, the victim, the person that's been tangled up with them. You know, you are usually quite, you know, needing love and validation and external reinforcements. You need that. I'm going to say 9 times out of 10, I think would be an accurate assessment. Sure, there's exceptions to everything, of course, but in the far majority of cases, there is something lacking in your life that makes you vulnerable to these people. It's like an invitation. You become like a narcissist magnet, a psychopath magnet, because you just exude this kind of hunger that you have, which is not that dissimilar from the hunger that they have. You know, they become dizzy with their thirst for fuel and supply, and you become dizzy with what you think that the narcissist has to offer you. It appears to be, you know, everything you ever wanted, and then you're hooked. You're bamboozled before you even know what's going on. The fuel that they provide for the ravenous and insatiable narcissist, that's you, what you give them, it's fresh and pure and delicious, and the narcissist just gorges on this. Attention, affection, adulation, adoration, the narcissist will just become your god, for lack of better analogies. The neurochemicals, like dopamine and serotonin, they flood your bodies with bliss, and cortisol levels stay high as it takes insurmountable energy to deny a million red flags as you walk into the mouth of this dragon, and you get cozy in this belly of the beast, right? So all of your neurochemicals in your head are discombobulated. They are affected in ways that you don't even know, because you can't feel this happening, but it is happening. And it's not your fault. You know, you were never a match for this clever and charming narcissist. They become, you know, the center of your universe, and you become addicted to the peptides that, you know, it's a cellular thing at a cellular level. And you become trauma bonded. That word has hit popular culture. I know you've heard that. I don't know if any of you have a full grasp of what that really means. And I'm kind of talking about that right now. Being trauma bonded happens. It's not just intermittent reinforcement of hot and cold, nice and naughty. combined that you get addicted to. It's neurochemical, it's trauma in the body, it's somatic, it's peptide addiction. It looks like a lot of different things. This bond that you have that's caused by this trauma. People who've never fallen down a rabbit hole before, you don't even know what's happened to you. If you've never allowed yourself to get swept away to Never Never Land, it may seem irresistible, this Peter Pan persona. It's never, you may never truly understand why you can't get away and escape this predator, but you can't. Eventually, the narcissist tires of his depleted food source, that's you, and he must leave to seek a fat, juicy, naive replacement. It could take months or years or whatever, but eventually, it's always going to end the same. And by that time, their throwaway partner has nothing left but confusion, anxiety, and pain. That's just the cycle. That's how it goes. The time wasted on the narcissist in efforts to heal them, save them, teach them, reform them, so on and so forth, they all fail because they were always just nothing more than a delusion. It's fantasy. That's why they call it a shared fantasy. When you're in this relationship with this person, there's never any real progress or victories, just mirroring, parroting, faking, future faking, pretending, illusion. None of it was real. So imagine going through all that and trying your best every day just to get up off the ground. Let's try a little exercise in empathy. Try to put yourself in the shoes of a person who has been played and preyed upon by the person with narcissistic personality disorder. Losing everything that ever mattered to you, friends and family, distanced and departed long ago. Youth, opportunity, optimism, dignity, and hope, all long gone. Casualties in the campaign to storm the castle and rescue the narcissist from their own bad self. Imagine that you have been robbed of your identity, self-respect, independence, identity, positive traits, your agency and empowerment. You are on fire from the barrage of bullets and bombs that the narcissist made rain down upon you in the end. There's still smoke coming off of you. Your hair is still charred and sparking a little bit. You're burned, first, second, third degree burns to the bone all over. When you survey this damage, the smoldering ruins of it, the dead bodies and carnage and all of that, the utter depravity and destruction, you cannot find your footing and stand up and carry on. You can't. You're destroyed, decimated. You call for help. You pray that another wave of destruction will blow you to smithereens and end the agony. But nobody comes and no one answers the call. You abandoned them for the narcissist a long, long time ago. Months pass, maybe years. And ever so slowly, you're able to create pieces of yourself in hopes of fashioning a whole person at some point, one that is self-sufficient and that is a survivor. But it's tough work. And when you begin to explain what happened to you to people, they're not going to want to hear it. And if they do manage to listen, they're not going to understand it. How could they? They see you struggle, how you grieve. How you still tremble and look so fragile as you try to hold your head up and be brave. They see how you are not yet whole and still stuck in sadness. It is then that they deliver some of the worst devastating support imaginable. Their suggestions, their suggestions can be very triggering and demeaning and humiliating, little daggers that go straight to the soft parts, the parts that of you that are not fully healed yet. Here's some things that they say. Why don't you just get over it? It's been long enough. Just go have some fun. Meet some new people. Get out there and have a date. You stay so beaten up because you just need to let go and move on. Be optimistic. Glass half full. You know, it's your fault that you keep this going by always thinking about it. Just forget about them. There's lots of fish in the sea. I know that you will get over all this. Just try these supplements, or this diet, or this exercise regimen, or this meditation technique, or this mindfulness, or this prescription drug, this medication, just medicate, this cannabis, this playlist. How about this playlist? This blah, 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 blah. Just stop giving him or her free rent in your head. Do you think they are thinking about you while they are banging away at their new person? You know, they're not. Don't be a fool. It never was something that was going to work anyway. We all knew that. Be more like me. You know, you don't want to pine away for some loser. Just be more like me. I'm strong. I would never let that happen to me. So why don't you just get a dog, a hobby, a new partner, a routine, a new hairdo, a mani-pedi, and the list goes on. That always makes me feel better. You're doing this for yourself, but you're really doing it to yourself. Just stop being so dramatic, hysterical, and crazy. You're just hurting all of us by acting out of control. We might not be able to be in your life at all if you're going to continue to act like this. It's just too much. You're just too much. Okay, guys, is any of that sounding familiar? Have these things been said to you? These well-intentioned suggestions and remedies, they just keep coming. And you start to feel that squeezing around your neck like someone is choking the breath out of you and you just can't breathe. As they keep on talking and talking, telling you all this stuff, just toughen up. Just get some grit. You know, your heart is racing and it's pounding so hard you swear you can see it moving under your shirt. Your hands get sweaty, the room gets smaller, and you feel that inner trembling that becomes shaking and then hard rigors as your body reacts to this traumatizing remarks. They are these things that they say, it's like lashings with a whip on your bare back, each one cutting deeper and deeper. You feel weaker and weaker, like you might just lose consciousness, and you begin to think, they're right. It is my fault. I am just weak. I do need to just snap out of it. I'm broken. I'm damaged. Anybody else wouldn't have all this trouble. What's wrong with me? Anybody else wouldn't be such a loser and just give in to it? How could I even want to be with somebody so horrible as that narcissist? Why would I want that? I feel so ashamed, so humiliated, so powerless. What is wrong with me? Will I never be okay? I'm so tired. I just wish that I could disappear and cease to exist. Do you see? Do you see what those helpful comments that all the friends and family say to you, what kind of response that triggers in you? It's not good. It's not okay. Do you understand how traumatized and victimized people feel when you offer them helpful advice that's just not even appropriate or going to work? It doesn't land, at least not where your good intentions hope that it would. Recovery from a relationship with a cluster B disordered person is like death. It is unlike any other breakup or decoupling or unpairing. There are no working steps of grief followed by a nice tidy closure and then followed by a fresh new start, maybe 12, 18 months later, like what happens normally with most relationships. That's kind of how that goes, right? This is different. People who have been hijacked and co-opted and enmeshed and entrained and cult conditioned and soul raped and mind fucked and gaslit and betrayed by a chameleon with no true core. These people are deeply, deeply destroyed on a level unimaginable to those who have never experienced it or witnessed it with someone that they love. It's like Chernobyl. The toxic leak contaminates everything, the air, the soil, the water, the whole region for centuries to come. It's a dead space. It's not just destroyed, it's rendered just an uninhabitable zone, a dead zone for all time. That is narcissistic abuse. Something so horrific and holistically and existentially lethal. Yeah, existentially lethal, that, you know, there's no coming back. There is no coming back. These people, ones who have experienced this nuclear meltdown like Chernobyl, these people, they die. They die. And the only way to keep living is to give birth to a new self, a pink, wiggly, fresh, fragile new life that gets to grow and evolve from scratch, tabula rasa, blank slate. It requires a rebirth and reimagining. They must leave the old self behind in the contaminated ruins back there in Chernobyl and forge a new self out of the fire. It is also a new opportunity, a second chance at life. Some people die for a brief time and then they find their way back to the living. That is us. We have been those people that were murdered or had something deadly happen to us and we died for a brief moment. And then now we're back. Like, we didn't move on. We have unfinished business here. We have things we're supposed to do, a life that is unfinished. And we didn't die permanently. We just died for a minute. And now we have to figure out how to rejoin the living. The ones who died for this time, they're just trying to find their way back to life. It's not like they don't want to be here. Please pause and have a new awareness about what this means. We live in a world where people are so careful with their words and their delicate little filters and caution about this and bias and that and discrimination and all this equity and diversity. And you got to add this to your list. Add this, put this on your radar because it's real. And you don't have to understand it to accept it. You don't have to understand it to believe it and to find new words for support that are not going to be like daggers to the people that you're saying it to, or you're not hurting them on top of already being hurt. You're victimizing the victim. You're re-traumatizing that person who's been abused. So here's some helpful things you could say that would be better. I know you are suffering. How can I help? Take the time and space you need. I'm here to support you in any way I can. I wish I knew what to do, but I don't. So I will sit here and listen as long as I can, but need to have some boundaries about all of this when it begins to feel like too much for me. I hope you can understand that. All right, I'm here. Tell me about it. Or how about this? I care about you. I'm so sorry that you are going through this. Or do you think it might be helpful to take a walk, get some food, watch some TV, listen to a podcast, take a drive, practice some mindfulness, go treat ourselves to some fun thing, go to the gym, try something new. You know, make some suggestions, some real suggestions. Do you think it would help to do this, that, or the other? There are many ways that you can show care for someone who is doing the hard work to parent their new self following abuse from a Cluster B person. They've just given birth to this new little pink wiggly version of themselves, and it's hard to parent yourself and to regrow a whole nother human, to start from scratch, from the blank slate. It's hard. It's so much work. They should not have to do it alone, and they should not be triggered or made to feel worse or minimized or humiliated by insensitive, well-meaning comments that only hurt. The malignant, pathological narcissist may do evil things and may actually be giving free rent to demonic entities in their own heads. But one thing is for sure, they are suffering from a mentally, emotionally, spiritual sickness that causes them to do unspeakable things to their victims. That is just a declaration, a statement of truth, that the people who have this personality disorder, this Cluster B, malignant pathological narcissism, they may have a lot of horrible, evil, wicked things happening with them. They may do a lot of horrible, terrible things because their brains aren't right. They, and all of that that's going on with them is the cause of them doing some really terrible, unspeakable things to other people. That's why they do it. The victim may or may not be vulnerable or codependent with borderline traits and abandonment issues and attachment disorders from their own early childhood trauma. And you heard what I said. I think the vast majority of us do have some of those things. That's why we're vulnerable to what they did to us. But it really doesn't matter if we have it or not. It doesn't change the fact that they were essentially, that what happened to us is that we've essentially been murdered by this disordered person, and their recovery, our recovery, in no way resembles a typical breakup recovery. This is something else altogether. So the people that have been through this, probably you and I, or you would be listening to this, or the person that, maybe you're the person that was sent this podcast by someone who is going through this, who wants you to know how to support them better. They've suffered enough without adding additional misery and despair to their situation. So please tread lightly and do no harm when you are trying to be there to support them. Use some of those comments that I just gave you. They're safe. They're appropriate, and they show love and support in the way that you want to do without telling them those other examples earlier on that I said of things that you tend to say that can be very, very harmful, counterproductive, and just painful to that person that you're trying to be there for. Okay, that's it. I'm moving. This is May 2023, and I'm moving only 30 miles from where I am now, but it's a big move. So, and I've been a little under the weather with some long COVID symptoms that flare up every now and then that I have. So sorry if I seem a little off today. I'm going to keep things going. I'm committed to all of you. I'm committed to the mission of educating and supporting all of you. So I'm going to be here for you. You can count on me. And we need to be here for each other. Let's learn how to do that better. Okay? All right. Much love to everyone. I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.